You know, you could wander into Lewistown this weekend, and if you have the right stuff, if you have what it takes, you could come away with a crown and a cape. Right? Because there's this choke cherry pit spitting contest going on at the Lewistown Choke Cherry Festival. And the winner does get a crown and a cape. And you're royalty throughout this entire Choke Cherry Festival. That's on our plate today. There in La Fountain with the Chamber of Commerce from Lewistown is going to join us here to talk about the Choke Cherry Festival. There's something else going on, too. This is all about, you know, having our time in rural Montana, all right? There is a Highline Harvest Festival that is going on, not this weekend, but next weekend. So Peyton Cole's going to join us there. We'll talk about that. It's festival time. Why not today on Voices of Montana? Welcome. Thank you for being here. Two decades strong and working on three. Hello to friends in Lewistown. KXLO, of course, been on there for quite some time. And also Kalispell, KOFI. They like to have their share of fun up there, too. Festival time in Montana, as I mentioned a bit later on. We'll go up to Chester, Montana, right there in Liberty County, the Highline Harvest Festival, and it's in its fifth year, right? So Peyton Cole's going to join us here. I like this. It's small town America, small town Montana, saying, hey, you know, we can have, they're not trying to copy large events. They're having their own kind of event, and that's what I appreciate about it as well. It's your culture, and this is your hometown, and you throw your kind of festival. And that's exactly what's been going on for more than just 5 years, though. I think it's 37 years, nearing 40. The 2026 event, as I have it here, is the 37th annual festival at the Chokecherry capital of the world. What goes on there? Well, of course, chokecherries, right? Those things are, they're not really great out in the wild because they're kind of tart, but people know what to do with them. Let's talk about this. This festival's been going on for some time, as I mentioned, too. And Theron LaFountain is with us, the executive director of Lewistown Area Chamber of Commerce. It takes place this weekend, this Saturday. And Theron, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good.
Are you guys the most festivist place in Montana this weekend?
Yes, we are, and I will tell you, we are in the thick of it, getting ready for this weekend. We're really excited. We have over 370 vendors.
You sold out when it comes to vendors, and I can hardly imagine that. I'm looking at Lewistown Choke Cherry, lewistownchokecherry.com for information on it. Some good video there, too. But that street's just packed, and that's Main Street, right?
Yes. I mean, you can see there's a festival map there. And as you scroll down it, you can see Main Street and all the side streets are packed.
So how do you pack Main Street with vendors and then people? You're expecting 10,000, right?
I anticipate we'll have somewhere right around 10,000. We also have live entertainment on every single street all day long. We have people walking up and down and doing balloon people for the kids. We have a scavenger hunt. I mean, you name it, we're doing it.
Why are you doing it? We'll go there. Why are you doing this?
Well, obviously, the Chokecherry Festival is important to us here in Lewistown. We were named the Chokecherry Capital in 1993 by the governor, and it's just something that's a huge part of our history. But also, as a Chamber of Commerce, this is about economic development as well and creating a wonderful event so people can come and learn a little bit about Lewistown, stay here for the weekend, and really have a wonderful time. And, of course, have a little bit of sweet tart all at the same time in a choke cherry.
So the choke cherry, it kind of is takes center stage here, right? Does everybody sell choke cherries? Tell me about this love of choke cherries that I suppose has blossomed now into, I don't know what, this festival in its 37th year. What are people going to see that's made of choke cherries?
So we have a culinary contest, and we have everything from appetizers to main dishes to rubs that you can put on your barbecue, all the way down to, of course, pies and the normal thing, the syrup that everyone buys as well. But there's also alcoholic beverages made out of it that are some of the categories. We've got cookies. I mean, you name it. We're yeast breads. I mean, people make chokecherry into anything.
So what is the, I don't want to say worst, what was the most surprising thing made out of choke cherries that you either liked or didn't like?
Like for me, I was so surprised how much you can do with a little bit of cheese and some choke cherries or a nice barbecue rub. I was mind blown because some of these people put a little jalapeno in that and then they rub it on their barbecue and it is absolutely spectacular. Now, of course, we also do have a youth division, so be prepared. You might not always get what you want in that one.
I like that. You're 18 categories, right?
For 18 categories, yep.
So what's, like, unusual there? Wine. Have you ever had – I've never had choke cherry wine.
We have – there's an amazing choke cherry wine. Not to mention, Willie's Distillery does a phenomenal choke cherry liqueur, and they'll be tasting for free right here at the Choke Cherry Festival. So you'll be able to go up and have a little taste of that if you'd like.
Well, that's not dangerous.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
throw that in some lemonade and you're in trouble.
That sounds.
And they just happen to be right by the lemonade stand, by the way.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So the, talk about the importance of this event to the town, right? 37 years, so it kind of cooks itself. We'll be speaking with Peyton Cole here before too long, and with the Highline Harvest, they're in their fifth year, right?
So
what do you do to keep this going? And it's been going for so long.
Obviously it's so critical for our vendors that we get people here. But it's also critical for our community that we have a lot of, it's not just about shopping, right? We have live entertainment all day long. We have a scavenger hunt for the kids with the grand prize being a bike. We have a choke cherry, spitting contest. We have this culinary contest. So it's not just about shopping. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of wonderful booths to shop. We also have what we are calling main attractions. So everything from a rolling river main attraction where you can learn about the land and what's happening here all the way down to putt-putt golf. So it's also about having amazing activities that families can come and enjoy for virtually free.
Theron LaFountain is with us, Executive Director of the Lewistown Area Chamber of Commerce, the Choke Cherry Festival. It's a one-day thing, lewistownchokecherry.com, mostly September 12th, right? But it kind of carries over. I mean, people, like you say, are getting geared up for it right now. So give us some of the logistics about this event.
Obviously, most of the vendors will come the night before because they have to be set up at 5 in the morning. And then this event carries on into the evening. So the community has really rallied around this. We have a run in the, we have a Kiwanis breakfast, right? Pancake breakfast. So all of those proceeds go to the Kiwanis. Then right after that, we have a cancer run, that starts at 9 o'clock. And then in the evening, we have a Trails and Ales event that all those funds go to our trails here. And so we've also turned this into, a really amazing philanthropic event as well, so that our local community can capitalize on these individuals being here and keep some of this money here and give it back to our community.
Yeah, and it's got to be really good for morale, too, for the city.
Oh, yeah, because it's fun, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, the event itself, right, it's just one single day, but it's all day long. Pit spitting. I'm going to say that wrong because I like how it sounds, right? Pit
yes.
Spitting. I'm going to get into that right now because I understand, and we were just kind of chatting a little bit before we got on the air here, that people can spit choke cherry pits. How far, Theron?
70 feet. I mean, you're talking 68 feet is our record right now, but I mean, you can go a long way. So, they're testing the wind. They're doing everything you can think of. We also have a spittoon. If you make it in there, you get a special extra prize.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So the spittoon is how far away then?
For the kids, we keep it a little closer, and then we move it down there towards the end, towards that 68 feet mark for the adults to see if they can get it in there.
Holy cow. How many people line up for that?
It happens over 2 hours, and so if you can imagine, we get hundreds of people that stop by and just take a couple pits and try to spit as far as they can.
Okay, there's no professional pit spitting league out there, is there? Do you have to watch out for the pros?
I don't think so, but there are some people that take it pretty seriously. Jerry, who has been our judge virtually since the beginning, I mean, she sits out there, she knows every rule. She knows exactly where the splatters happen, how you can tell how far it is, who's, I mean, she is cutthroat with this contest.
Can she spit a mean pit?
I've never asked her, but I will tell you, she's a bulldog if you think that you're going to win without a little bit of a push.
Okay, so you can test the win. Can you take like a run up to it? What do people do? Do they, just try to paint that picture. I can see different techniques out there, but I'm not sure what works.
You could do anything. I mean, we have people, like you said, that test the wind and might come back later if they think the wind is not in their favor. You know, you could run and jump and stop in that space and see if you can get it further. You could do anything from trying to spit it down low to see if it can go, if it's more like a bullet down by the street, closer to the ground. And you'll see this tarp is the same tarp we've used the whole time. So it has literally been used every year, and we roll it out and mark it.
And wash it, I hope.
And wash it, for sure. Yeah. Wash.
Yeah. So they can, it doesn't have to be, Jerry, as the rule person, it doesn't have to be all in the air. It can be as far as the spit pit can roll, and that counts too, or?
I believe it's exactly where it smacks. So she has showed me that it has to. She can tell where it hits the ground based upon how the splatter happens.
I really like this, and I know there's people out there going, I wonder how far I can spit a pit.
And there really is a crown, if you were wondering. We have two crowns and two capes.
And you have like a youth contest, right?
We do. We have, and now we give them more prizes based upon it. Like, that's really, getting it in the spittoon is a little bit more for them. So we place that closer, and any kid who gets it in the spittoon gets an actual little prize.
Well, how far can kids spit their pits?
I think a lot farther than you think. You know, I don't know the exact, but I'm sure it's like up to 16, 18 feet.
Has Jerry ever had to, like, disqualify anybody?
I don't think she's disqualified people, but she has made people very irritated by telling them that they were not the winner based upon the splatter. I do know that.
Oh, I love that. And a crown and a cape.
Yep.
And then, so like when does the pit spinning contest happen? Because the winner, I'm sure, parades around the grounds all day long, right?
With lots of... it actually happens. They don't get the crown until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they get to go up and down Main Street. So they get to. Anyone could stop by the chamber booth between 1 and 3 and participate in this contest.
Okay, who's the favorites? You got some favorites out there?
So we have a local favorite. His name's Jeff Southworth. Now, he has won the last couple of years in a row. So I'm telling you, you're going to have to bring your game. This man has got this thing down to a science.
What does he tell his secrets?
No.
No.
Not even close. I will tell you, he does own a construction company, so he probably knows a thing or two about the weather and the things that are happening around us.
Oh, gotcha. And spitting, too.
And, you know, obviously.
Yeah, because you go, okay, I'll do
that. All day long, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'm on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Theron, stand by. All right, we'll come back and talk more about this. You know, and talk about the value of it. In rural America, rural Montana, too, keeping these things alive, the uniqueness of it. Theron LaFountain is with us here, Executive Director of the Lewistown Area Chamber of Commerce. Peyton Cole will join us a little bit later. Organizer of Highline Harvest Festival, that's going on in Chester next weekend. This upcoming weekend, Saturday, is the Chokecherry Festival. We've heard of the Harvest Festival, right? It's the Highline Harvest Fest. We'll talk about here in just a little bit. Peyton Cole should be joining us for that. That's going on September 17th, 18th, and 19th. In its fifth year, that's free, family-friendly event as well, and centered around agriculture and our heritage there in rural Montana. Likewise, but it's not necessary. It's this one in Lewistown is centered around this tart little berry you think everything's a chokecherry out there sometimes when you're out in the wild, but not everything is. But the Chokecherry Festival, 37 years, 8 to 5, but it goes into the evening as well. The pancake breakfast starts at 7 o'clock. This is running September 12th, so this Saturday in downtown Lewistown. You can't miss it because they're expecting, you know, usually it's 5 to 6 or 7, but this year maybe up to 10,370 vendors, and a car show going on too. We haven't talked about that yet. We will. Some 70 vehicles. Theron LaFountain is with us, executive director of the Lewistown Area Chamber of Commerce. So, I mean, can you throw something else on here too? You got to throw, you got a car show going on. Maybe, you know, maybe you should kick off a Survivor episode or something while you're there.
We should, actually.
Yeah.
That'd be a brilliant idea to see if you could survive the day, maybe.
Right. talk about this car event then, too.
Yeah, so we have 70 to 80 classic cars as well. And so the Montana Trail Dusters are here that entire day. They set up bright and early as well. And so that really caps the end of Main Street. We go all the way from 1st and Main, which is down right as you're coming into town. And that is where our firemen will be, and they pass the boot all day long. And then all the way at the other end is this huge car show. And so this really spans all the way up and down our main street.
70 vehicles is quite a bit, too.
It's a lot. Yeah, I mean, you're talking a couple city blocks, essentially.
So you know, talk about how important this is. And I know it's just not just economic development, but, you know, rural America has been, I don't want to forget, they're challenged, and sometimes some communities are struggling with it, but others are challenged to, you know, maintain their identity and grow in, you know, despite circumstances that might be playing against them a little bit. How does Lewistown, you know, fit in all of that? Talk about the revitalization of rural America, and not only how important it is economically, Theron, but I also think it's important for us as a country, you know, because there's a lot of good values that are preserved in rural America.
Well, you know, we joke. There's a couple of, with the Downtown Association and us in conjunction with, we plan several events throughout the year. And we really talk about Lewistown is just like walking into a Hallmark movie. And we're proud of that because just as much as people want to feel that feeling that they feel at Christmas time when they watch a Hallmark movie, that's the world we live here. It is still that quaint and that intimate and that special. And so these kind of events like the Choke Cherry Festival, our Christmas Stroll, Hot Summer Days, these are all things that really celebrate who we are. Even our, you know, obviously we do the Montana Dinner Train and the Charlie Russell Choo Choo, and that really celebrates all of these things, celebrate our history of Central Montana. And I think that that's important to lean into that rather than run away from it.
Do you see that having an impact? Do you see whatever generation it is? You know, we tend to think it's our older generation that's trying to preserve values, but I don't think that's necessarily the entire truth there. I think there's a lot in the younger generation that are...
You know,
are,
even when I watch our social media numbers on our Facebook, we get a lot of individuals between the ages of 35 to 45. That is our highest demographic that follows us. I mean, so it isn't just... And obviously we do have the 65-plus as well as our second-largest demographic. But there is that huge number of individuals who are just starting a family who really want to go back to these traditional, wonderful memories that they had as a child, and they want their children to grow up in those as well. And so that's really what we're doing and celebrating here.
And there are other communities that do this as well. There's a Flathead Celtic Festival that's going on this Friday and Saturday. Whitefish Songwriters, I'm just looking some up here, the Laurel Fall Festival, the Great Falls Autumn Cottage Market. Those things are going on this weekend as well. So there's kind of competition. So you try to make your festival special, right?
I mean, obviously, we think it's special no matter what because we love choke cherries down here.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We do try to make it as special as possible. And like we discussed a little bit earlier, we try to make it as family-friendly as possible. We don't want this just about shopping. We want this to be something that you can take your children to. They can enjoy all day long. They can have a wonderful pancake with some choke cherry syrup on it in the morning and then get to go on a scavenger hunt and do a little bit of putt-putt golf and watch some amazing live music right on the street. all at the same time. And that none of that, that's all free. That has nothing to do with the shopping or the vendors. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to come out and shop and buy things.
Right.
But also, we want it to be a special experience for everyone.
And you've got more to offer there as well. I want to go into a little bit on the choo-choo train, because that seems like it's real fun. I haven't done it yet, and I love trains. But I want you to put your finger on it. Are we seeing investment in rural communities because of the value and work ethic? Or is money still flowing to, you know, other areas for other reasons?
I think people find the value here. I think we get a lot of individuals, especially with the train, who come in here to learn about the history and live in a step back in time a little bit into a world that doesn't really exist in the cities anymore. We have a lot of people who ride the train that are not even from Montana at all, who come here to really learn about the Wild Wild West, and then they stay and they go to Bear Gulch and see the pictographs and some of these other things that are in our area too, which is fantastic.
And the train, what do you have, like fall hours for this? What's that schedule?
So the train is every other weekend, and we only run one departure. And then this year we've added a harvest train, so we have a farm-to-table event that will happen on October 2nd. So all the food is farm-to-table. We even have ambassadors on the train talking about exactly where it came from. We learn about every farm that we travel through, a farm and ranch, and we learn what they're doing. They're actually going to be out there in their fields doing what they do. We get to meet the livestock right up and close and personal, to really learn about agriculture and what that means to rural America.
Who always shows up? I mean, you talk about volunteers. Who's always showing up for you guys at these things?
You know, we have a huge amount of volunteers, everything from, you know, some of our farmers and ranchers. I just met with several of them last week. We have, like, Chris Deshmaker. This is a family that's been here forever. We have Jennifer Saunders, who's one of our commissioners, who is really leading the charge on this agricultural event, because it means so much to our community here.
And, I'm curious as to who always shows up in the crowd, too. Like, if somebody is a past champion of the pit spinning contest, do they get to keep that crown? Do they wear that cape?
They have to give that crown up at the end of the day, and it goes on to the next person the next year.
Oh, I guess that's justified, too. So, yeah. You know.
Then you get to wear it for a day, and you just get to feel like you're part of history, right?
Oh, take lots of pictures. Anything else that's fun there? There, we just got like less than a minute here.
You know, anything fun? If you are coming down, I would highly recommend going and seeing. You know, we literally have North America's largest pictographs right here in Lewistown. So you can go right outside of town and go see those at Bear Gulch. It's a fantastic event for the family to see just a little bit of our native history as well. And so I would highly recommend that if you're going to be here in town.
All right. And as far as Lewistown goes, you guys have a pretty good summer?
It's been spectacular and absolutely packed.
Really?
Yes, we have been packed every weekend, which has been awesome for us. We have so many events that happen here, everything from Centerfest, Cowboy Poetry, the you know, obviously the fair. We have car races here. We have horsing events, everything from shooting off the back of your horse to rodeos. So we really do pack this summer in.
Thanks, Sarah. And it's fun to have you on the air. And everybody, take that in, September 12th, Chokecherry Festival. You know, we like to do this. We like to, after there's hard work that we've accomplished or the harvest is in, so to speak, we like to sit back, take a breath, and maybe get with friends, kind of celebrate the work and the fruit of your labor. That's what happens an awful lot in these communities all across Montana. We talked about the Laurels having a fall festival. The Helena Fall Vintage Market takes place September 25th. Just got done talking with Theron LaFountain, Executive Director of the Lewistown Chamber of Commerce, about their 37th year now into their Chokecherry Festival. This is something that was going on in Chester and the High Line for quite some time, and then it took a long break for a number of reasons. But there are some folks up in the Chester area, Liberty County, that brought this back 5 years ago. And this is the High Line Harvest Festival. There's a lot to it. I look at the music lineup, and it's really kind of special here as well. Another one of these free and family-friendly events, and let's go talk about that right now with Peyton Cole, an organizer for the Highline. Is it officially called the Highline Harvest Fest? Good morning, Peyton. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Hanging right in there. Are you busy and you got the weight of the world on your shoulders because the Harvest Festival is 2 weeks away?
You know, things are kind of taming down a little bit. I feel like we've got everything in place. Good. And I'm just kind of waiting to like go up to the Highline.
Yeah, till it all falls into place here. Tell us about this. Tell us about how long you've been doing this, but also give us that history where I think this event happened for 30 years and then it took an extended break. And then you guys have revived it for the past five.
Yeah, so I moved back home to Chester during COVID and was farming and ranching during the pandemic because I was working in music and events. And I had just thought about this event that used to happen back in the 80s. They stopped doing it, and it had come back a couple of times on a small scale level. So, you know, I've produced pretty large festivals in Montana, and I wanted to do something like that again in Chester. So I asked Liberty County Community Development Committee if they could float some money and help with this. And we brought it back after about 30 years in a really big way. And now this is the fifth year and everybody's just come together in a really big way in this community. And we have so many activities and it's really cool to see.
What was your experience in bringing it back the first time? And then I take it was kind of an immediate success, and now it's going into its fifth year. So obviously you guys were doing something right, right?
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, I remember going to the Centennial in Chester, or, you know, homecoming used to be a really big thing. And those are really core memories for me as a child. And I just thought, why aren't we doing this now? So the biggest thing with a free event is getting your sponsors, you know, so that was the biggest thing. I reached out to all of the organizations in Chester to donate money so we could do this, you know, the music production side of it. I mean, that costs a lot of money alone. So, yeah. I had also reached out to people who were involved back in the day, and got their opinions about it, asked them about the activities that they used to do. And so we brought some of those activities back, like the bed races. They used to do that in the 80s. So that's kind of the fan favorite and what kicks off the festival. I don't know, tried to bring everybody together and raise as much money as I could to do it.
Yeah, and that money's going into a lot of kind of different places, too. Some people are using this, as we heard from Theron, you know, a lot of charity events have come about because of their festival. I imagine that's kind of happening there too, right?
Yeah, for sure. So most, if not all of the money goes towards the operations of it just because it takes a lot. But this year we've got a presenting sponsor, Montana Farmers Union. So that's helping us give more money back to the community. We are giving away two small business grants worth $1,000 each, which is pretty great. We've had 9 applicants, and we'll announce those winners at the festival. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
There's a huge food aspect to the festival, too. We have a cook-off with a meat smoking competition and a pie and cheesecake bake-off. So the money that gets raised for the pie auction, we will be donating some of that back to the food bank in Chester. And then any school organization or nonprofits, you know, the nonprofits get a discounted vendor rate, but a lot of these school groups get to fundraise for free. And, you know, there was a pretty tragic event that just happened to a community member in Chester, and the Harvest Festival is a perfect time to bring the community together to raise money for those people too. So it's pretty great that we're able to do that
for
organizations and folks in the community.
So you have had, and Peyton Cole is with us, an organizer for the Highline Harvest Festival. And so you've had some experience in this, right? And probably they're bigger events and larger events. What's the difference? What do you try to accomplish in making this Highline Harvest Festival special and unique and different from everything else that's out there?
Yeah, like I was telling you earlier, I used to produce festivals in Missoula and kind of all over Montana, but they're just music festivals, right? And music festivals are fun, and, you know, you can build some core memories from that. But I think what sets the Highland Harvest Festival apart from everything else is that there's this community aspect, and you're bringing a rural community together, and getting folks to travel from out of town and out of state even to Chester is pretty cool. So we're boosting the economy. But I think now more than ever, bringing people together is really important. And it's more special than just going to see music, you know.
Yeah.
Chester, Montana is a town of 800 people. And then, you know, the High Line, there's tiny towns along the way. I just think it's important because, you know, sometimes it feels like they can be forgotten. And I'm trying to instill some culture and community in those folks.
Yeah, and it goes a long ways, actually, when they see somebody putting in the hours and digging, you know, to get these things done, it kind of inspires others. And this is what I like about it too. And your story too, Peyton, is kind of interesting because, as you said, you came home during COVID because they canceled all the festival events that you'd probably organized up into that point. Mm-hmm. And now you're still there, right? Talk about your experience as a youngster coming back into an agricultural community and looking to do something new with it or re-energize it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I am born and raised in Chester, Montana. I graduated in 2016 and moved to Missoula to go to college. I went to school for entertainment management and psychology, but during COVID, I had to drop out, you know, and I moved back home to make some money farming and ranching, and it really was the best time of my life. I got to kind of heal the part of me that was broken from growing up in a small town. You know, I didn't grow up on a farm or a ranch or anything like that. So I was home for about 3 years, brought the Harvest Festival back the second year in 2023. We did the festival, and then I moved to Austin, Texas. So I actually live in Austin, Texas currently, and I've been here for about 3 years, and I wanted to pursue music full time. So,
oh, congrats.
I'm doing that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I go home about quarterly, I'd say, and produce a festival from afar. And every year it's been great. People are starting to realize how important this is and how many hands it takes to do this. So I've had more and more people every year helping out, making this possible. I really could not do this if I didn't have the community support.
Yeah. And there's well, I look at this schedule too. In fact, we'll come back and talk more about the logistics of this. I got a breakup coming, and then we'll peel into it. I mean, because it does, you have like a Powder Puff football game on Monday, the 14th, events pick up from there. And it culminates Friday and Saturday with the festival. This is going on for 7 weeks, and I love talking about it. I love this idea. The Montana Department of Commerce, they're giving away a weekly prize package that's referenced to the 7 different Montana travel regions to showcase these unique cultures all across the state of Montana. If you've lived up, if you've grown up in Montana, lived here like I have, I'm a geek about it, all these unique areas, they're special in their own ways. And so that's why I like this prize package. Yes, this is a prize package, a week 2 giveaway. Last week was Indian Country. This week it's going to be Glacier Country. Visit mt.com/giveaway. This is where this will happen. They do this every week, okay? This is the 2nd of 7. And this one is a Western Montana Glacier Country camp kit. It goes wherever you go. It's a Yeti Camino, 35 carry-all tote. There is 30 feet of battery-powered string lights that you don't need an outlet for, mug, stadium chair, and the Rumpel original puffy blanket from Glacier National Park. So that's part of the giveaway this week. And all you got to do is visit mt.com/giveaway. Visit mt.com/giveaway and apply for that. And we'll talk more about Glacier Country as the week goes on. Now, near to Glacier Country, it's the Harvest Festival, the Highline Harvest Festival out of Chester, Montana. Peyton Cole grew up in the area. Now she's in Austin, but carrying this on as she came back during COVID and revitalized this festival, which had been going for some 30 years back in the 80s. Lots of music here. And Peyton, what else? I mean, because, you know, you as a kind of more of a music producer, so to speak, and you've organized festivals as well. So, you know, you got to get culture in there. What's unique about this festival in that regard?
Well, I wanted to tie it back to the festival that they used to do in the 80s. So I had called a couple people like Chris Colstead and Gary Buffington, and Gary Buffington used to host the bed races, and now he does it today. But I wanted to bring back those old events so it was still, you know, kind of like the same thing. It's a harvest festival. A lot of my friends, especially here in Austin, think, oh, yeah, Peyton produces a music festival in our hometown, and I always tell them it's not a music festival. It's a community festival.
Yeah.
So we have so many different activities across 3 different days, and it's really great because there's an activity for everybody. And I think that's kind of the goal, especially being a family-friendly event. You got to have something for everybody.
So rip into them. What are some of those activities?
So Thursday, we have a trivia night. Friday, we have a cribbage tournament. Love cribbage up in the north.
Oh, yeah. It's Saturday, serious. That's serious business, I think.
Oh, yeah. I didn't expect so many people to show up last year, actually. it was really great. Saturday, we have the bed races, we have a cornhole tournament, kids' trike races. There's also miscellaneous activities for kids. We have the meat smoking competition, which includes tomahawk cooking, ribs and wings, and then there's a pie and cheesecake bake-off. And this weekend has turned into a reunion weekend for people, so classes all the way going back into the 70s and 80s are coming back for their class reunions, which is cool too.
Yeah.
Cool to make an event in Chester where people are planning around their lives.
Yeah. Andy Schwab, who's a broadcaster, friend of mine as well, he's, you know, right in the office next door with the Northern Ag Network, is a part of this as well. And was saying, he was talking about, he came in and wrote a note, Calcutta, the bed races, Calcutta. You have a Calcutta for these bed races?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Highline. We love to gamble. You can't have a festival without a little Calcutta. So Andy's been really great. He's been there all 5 years. He's our MC and auctioneer, and then he helps a ton with the bed races. So he's out there commenting on the races going on. It's pretty hilarious. And then we do the Calcutta, and the Calcutta gets up to, like, I don't know, $4,000 to $5,000.
Wow.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Do you encourage costumes and like crazy beds? And what's the craziest bed you've seen flying down the streets of Chester?
We do encourage costumes. Whoever has the best dressed team gets $100 cash. Hmm. One of the rules for the bed races is that you cannot alter the beds. So everybody uses the same beds just to make it fair across the board. There's always one team, my friend Kerry Colstead, who's a blacksmith. He also makes all the trophies for all the competitions. He always wears a really great outfit. It's pretty funny. The kids also, there's a juniors division. They're always dressing up too. It's really fun.
Yeah. Snow cone fundraiser for the sixth grade class, Chester mm-hmm. Joplin Inverness, a dunk tank, and mini train rides. This, just a lot going on. Who are some of the, I got like less than a minute left here. Who are some of the acts that you want people to know about?
We've got the Brown Brothers of Reckless Kelly and Mickey and the Motorcars. They're headlining. Wiley and the Wild West, really great musician from Conrad, Montana, up there in north central Montana.
Yeah.
Chase and Wayne from Austin, Texas. The Moondocks from Butte, Montana. Kaylin Beasley from Wyoming. Raina Wallace from Wyoming and Montana as well. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like quite a lineup, too. Good job with that, Peyton, and you know, kicking our rural communities into gear with some of these things. I appreciate it. I appreciate what you're doing, and let's keep it going for 30 more years, huh?
Amazing. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. That's Peyton Cole once again, Highline born and raised and now organizer for this Highline Harvest Festival.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.